Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mel Herbert here for Elon Daily this March 8th, 2019, and I'm coming to you from Australia as promised, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. But I do have to apologize for the crappy audio quality. We're not in the studio. We've got the little tiny mic, and so, you know, it's not up to our usual standards, but we'll get back to our usual standards when we get home. I'm here in Melbourne, one of the nicest cities in the world. Has been ranked so by USA Today about 8 of the last 10 years. It really is a beautiful city. I went to high school here. I went to med school here. So I consider this home in many ways. But I wanted to summarize the V3 version of supercharging. You all are 24 hours ahead of me on this right now. But basically everything that was talked about on the last show seems to have come true. And I just want to sort of review it and then give you my concerns. And then we'll hear from Robert from Talking Tesla. So V3, 250 kilowatts, you can do up to 1,000 miles per hour. That's one of the things we talked about. I didn't know if it would be twice, exactly twice of what it is currently, but it is in a Model 3. If you also do the battery preconditioning, so this is a situation where you'll say, I'm going to the supercharger, you click on the button, and it'll magically start warming up your battery so it can take that charge that fast. I would think that they'd actually have to cool the batteries to make it charge that fast, but in fact they say they're going to warm the batteries so it can go about 25% faster than if you don't warm them. Now, Model S and X will also be able to use V3. We don't know yet how fast that will be because they just say in their release as fast as that battery chemistry for that car allows. So we don't know that yet. We also know that you can do battery preconditioning on S and X, which will improve things by about 25%. And the V2 version of supercharging is going to go from 100 and what is it right now? 130 to 145 kilowatts. So that will make things a little bit faster. And all of this is going to start rolling out in Q2 with software, well, with firmware updates to the cars and the actual building of V3 supercharger stations, which are not going to replace the version 2. They're going to be in addition to, presumably, in high trafficked areas along the freeways. So we're going to hear from Robert in just a minute. He's very high on this. But at first, I was very excited, and this is obviously an improvement. But let me tell you the things that I'm concerned about. First of all, how fast are you going to be able to get this 1,000 miles per hour of charging? Is it when the car is empty and everything else is perfect in terms of, you know, you've got a low state of charge and all that kind of stuff? So how fast and up to what? So if I'm close to zero and I plug in with a V3 supercharger and I want to go another 250 miles, will it charge at that speed up to 250 miles? Because my experience in the Model 3 is it'll give you a really fast charge for a very short time and then it drops off precipitously. Have they fixed that? Are they going to fix that? How fast is S and X going to charge? And they said that you're not going to have one person splitting with the other person. It's all going to be max on each sort of plug that you poke in there. So I guess my first series of caveats is this is great in theory, but how good will it be in practice? Right now, V2 superchargers rarely give you the maximum speed when there's anybody else around. Now, the technologies they're employing here might mean that you actually get close to the theoretical maximum most of the time because they're attaching to these to the big batteries as suspected, and they're not splitting it per post. Everybody's going to get the theoretical 250. But the batteries, I mean, there's some physics here. You can't go from 0 to 100 in a battery without it exploding. So just how fast for how long can you do this? What's S and X going to get? Overall, I'm pretty excited about it. The other downside is because of the amount of money this is going to cost, because of the amount of time we've had V2 supercharging, we can't expect anything better than this for a number of years. So while other people are now talking about 350 kilowatts, Teslas, not so much. They're not going to get that, I wouldn't think, for at least another 3 to 5 years by the time you do this build-out, unless they are building out in such a way that they'll be able to increase the kilowatts in the future. So back in the day, there was a tweet by Elon saying 350, that's child's play. Well, it turns out 350 is not child's play for Tesla. Apparently, it's harder than you think because there's the delivering that energy. There's also the sucking up of that energy without your batteries exploding. And I think they're going to go very slowly here because you do not want to start seeing some fires at superchargers. And this is a lot of energy getting pushed into those. So I think they're going to be very conservative the way they roll this out. But maybe I'm being too harsh. I am excited. Don't get me wrong. I am excited. But the other thing, oh, that was one last thing to say, is that they said they're going to roll this out in such a manner that they can keep up with production of the Model 3 and the Model Y, and that's very important. They'll double the capacity in the next year. But I would suggest to you, they need to do more than that in places like California. There are superchargers right now that are impacted much of the time. So hopefully they'll fix that situation by putting a V3 supercharger in some of these really high-impacted places in California. Now, obviously, California has a lot more Teslas than anywhere else, and this is just not an issue for a lot of people, but that's something I'd really like to see. Now, keep the version 2 supercharger that you got, but across the street, open a couple of V3s so that those 3s can get in there, in and out real fast, because they've got all of the stuff that they need to do it quickly. All right, let's hear from Robert from Talking Tesla.
Wow, so much to talk about. Version 3 supercharger reveal. I'm disappointed that I wasn't there. I'm disappointed they didn't live stream it. But I ended up sitting on my couch and triangulating through multiple websites, Twitter, etc. And my takeaway is that this is great news for Tesla, because the supercharger network is the backbone of Tesla's Camelot legend. Without the superchargers, folks can't justify buying the Tesla. They can't justify the risk of driving all electric. And still, all the other car manufacturers are way behind. There was one fellow on Tesla on Twitter named Privateer, who was a main source for everybody. And he was tweeting about his experience. He evidently got an email around 7 in the morning on Wednesday, the day of the reveal, inviting him. He lives up in the Fremont area. Then at like 5 in the afternoon, he got an update notification on his phone that said you won't be able to use the version 3 supercharger without the update. So he updated. And when he evidently got to the event, it seems like he got there early. He sends out a screenshot at 7:58 p.m., like minutes before it even started. And his car is already ramped up to the max charge rate, 1,000 miles per hour. He was in a pretty low state of charge at the time. And then he put out some graphs, which are really helpful. So I recommend you look him up on Twitter. And so it was sort of more than I expected, and terrific news, even though I have a 2013 and a 2017 Model S that don't use that high rate of charge. But this does one main thing. Decreases the amount of time that people spend at the superchargers. And my understanding is it's only going to be at the high volume superchargers along major roadways. So in other words, the ones you would take on a road trip. So this would get rid of Mel's rants and complaints over the wait while you're on your way home and you're tired after your vacation and the car's lined up and an hour to get to a charger. And not only reduce that weight, but reduce the amount of time that you're going to be there supercharging. Tesla put out a very nice blog post. It's like 3 pages long, and they talk about how this is going to be rolled out for all cars. In other words, all Teslas are going to have the access to this higher rate of charge, though depending on your car, you may not be able to charge it at the full rate. But even older S's and X's will basically be uncorked to be able to charge at their maximum allowable rate, which I think is fantastic. And according to their modeling, they're going to be able to decrease the amount of time people spend charging 50%, which is like doubling the supercharger network capacity overnight. That's with just the software unlocking of supercharger speed. That doesn't mean a 2012 signature first edition Model S is going to be able to charge that fast. No, originally they were maxed out at 90 kilowatt charge rate. Then, we went up to 135 kilowatt hour, even though there was nothing available at that rate. And now we're up to 250 kilowatt charge rate. So a lot of information in here. Europeans already have access to a 250 kilowatt to 300 kilowatt charge rate using these Ionity high power chargers. And I went on a map and found that there are 38 of them already operable across Europe, from far north in Sweden all the way down to sort of upper Italy. And these chargers were built by the Audi Porsche team. And now I wonder, will the Model 3s in Europe be able to use that charger before Tesla even rolls out any version 3 superchargers? They're talking in their literature about increasing the supercharger coverage to cover 90%, 99% of people who live in either the United States or in China. And all of that sort of speaks to Tesla's philosophy of trying to cover the population as if they're going to use these on a daily basis to charge their cars. China is a probably arguably more of a situation because they don't have as much access to home charging as we do in the United States.
So Robert's very bullish on this, and I was going to get Tom to chime in as well, but he's got a cold so bad and a recording that is so terrible you can hardly understand it. So we'll get Tom's thoughts on our next Talking Tesla. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there it is, V3, coming to you from Australia on crappy audio equipment, but we'll speak to you in a couple of days, and I'll tell you what's happening with Teslas in Sydney. All right, Herbert out.